Chapter 19. It was cold, and it rained for 2 weeks preceding our Christmas program. It rained too much for the people to go out into the field to cut cane, and the field and the roads were too muddy for the cane to be brought to the derrick for loading, and then shipment to the mill for grinding. People stayed at home around the fireplace, or near the stove in the kitchen. You could see gray-blue smoke rising from the big chimneys in the fronts of the houses, and from the smaller chimneys in the backs. And because the wind always came into the quarter from the river this time of year, you could see the smoke drifting from the quarter back across the field toward the cemetery and the swamp. The only time you were likely to see someone out in the yard was to cut more wood to throw onto the fireplace or to put into the kitchen stove. The rest of the time, the quarter was deserted, the doors and windows shut tight against the cold wind and the rain. There was still a light drizzle on the night of the program, but it did not keep the people away. I had told the students that this program should be dedicated to Jefferson, and they had taken the message home, and many people who had never attended a Christmas or graduation program came to the church that night. The program began at 7 o'clock, but people were there much earlier. Because of the rain, they could not drive cars in the quarter, so they either walked or came by wagon. Reverend Ambrose, who lived up the river and not on the plantation, parked his car along the highway and walked to the church. As usual, he was dressed in a dark suit, white shirt, and dark tie, but tonight he also wore a yellow slicker. Most of the other people wore their going-to-town clothes, not their everyday working clothes, and not their Sunday best either. Going-to-town clothes were old clothes, but without any visible patches. The shirts and dresses may have been faded, but they were clean and they were neat. No one lingered outside, as they would have had the weather been better. After scraping off their shoes on the bottom step, they kicked the mud on the ground and came inside the church. The women folks who had brought food set their pots or pans or bowls on the tables that we had placed against the blackboards in the back. Mrs. Sarah James, who had arrived at 6:30, sat guarding the food until after the program, when everyone would eat. The other women took vacant seats as close to the heater as they could get. The men and the older boys stood in the back, talking until the women folks told them to sit down. I was behind the curtain with the students who had been chosen to participate in the Christmas play. The curtain was made up of 4 bed sheets, suspended from a wire that extended from one side of the church to the other. 3 of the sheets were very white, the 4th was a light gray. This one belonged to Miss Rita Lawrence, and as long back as I could remember, she had insisted on contributing something to the Christmas program, and every time it was a sheet, probably the same one, and it was never as white as the others. The audience always knew which sheet was Miss Rita's, and they thought it was embarrassing to have it hanging up there with all the others. But no one had the courage to speak to Miss Rita about it, and each year it was one of the 4 that made up the curtain. Irene Cole and Odessa Freeman were assisting me in preparing the students behind the curtain. The 2 shepherds wore brown croaker sacks over their dress clothes, and each of them carried a tall bamboo cane, curved at the top and tied with black thread. The 3 wise men wore crepe paper robes. The robes were red, green, and yellow. Irene and Odessa continued to remind the wise men to be careful not to tear their robes by moving around so much. Mary, the mother of Jesus, wore a wrinkled blue denim dress to show that she was a poor woman. Joseph, her husband, had on overalls and carried a hammer in the loop of his pants. Baby Jesus was a white alabaster doll dressed in a long white gown. The girls in the choir wore white dresses, the boys white shirts. Every so often, I would part the curtain to see how many people had come in. Miss Rita Lawrence and her big grandson, Boak, were 2 of the first people there and sat up front, with Boak taking up almost a third of the bench. 2 times, Boak had been sent to the mental institution at Jackson, but the doctors there knew he was not dangerous and felt they could do no more for him than Miss Rita probably could do for him at home, and after keeping him a week or 2, they sent him back to her. Boak had 1 peculiarity other than being unable to look after himself, and that was his love for marbles. He carried them with him all the time. He sat there now, playing with the marbles in the right pocket of his overalls. Miss Rita occasionally had to touch him on the hand to keep them quiet.